Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Psychic Teachers. I'm your host, Deb Bowen. My wonderful partner, Samantha Faye, is under the weather tonight. So I'd like to ask you all to just take a moment and send out light and love and healing to Samantha. If you are a Reiki practitioner, please send her some Reiki. She could certainly be zapped with that. And she's not terribly sick, but she certainly didn't feel like being with me tonight. So I'm on it by myself tonight, folks, with you all out there, and I am honored and delighted that you have joined me. So be gentle with me because I'm juggling lots of electronic things all at one time, and that is not my forte. So, again, welcome to Psychic Teachers, as tonight we discuss the amazing number 11. And we're going to get to that in just a few minutes. But I'd like to begin our show, as those of you who are our regular listeners know, with a meditation. And this is usually Samantha's job, but I thought I'd like to undertake it tonight. So if it is safe for you to do so, if you're not driving someplace, please just take some long, slow, deep breaths with me. Close your eyes if it's safe to do so. And just breathe in calmness and stillness and gentleness. And just imagine that you are walking, walking, walking in this beautiful autumn here in the Northern Hemisphere, crunching through leaves, just in this lovely forest place with brilliant colors of autumn all around you. Reds, golds, and yellows, and purples, all against the stark beauty of dark, dark tree limbs. And just breathe in that wonderful fragrance that comes with the decaying earth as she gives herself a rest for the winter so that she can build nourishment for the spring, for the land. And as you walk along in this beautiful fall forest, look up at the sky through the leaves, through the limbs, and see an absolutely brilliant blue sky, the kind that we only see in this crisp autumn air. And just breathe in the colors around you, the beautiful blue of the sky, the reds and golds and yellows and purples of the leaves around you. And just know as you are breathing in this beautiful autumn light that you too are a part of the nature that allows us to simply be, that it is all right, that it is acceptable, that it is desired and necessary to give yourself time to just be, to be like fallow ground, that while you are in this place of resting, you can simply be who you are. And know that as you breathe in this beautiful autumn weather, this beautiful autumn landscape around you, you can take that energy that you are gathering within yourself and use it and store it away for the winter to come, so that you can be quiet and reflective and spend that time over the next few months to go within. Know that you are giving yourself in this meditation permission to nurture yourself, to feed yourself, and to simply be in the long winter months ahead. So take another slow, deep breath and then come out of this meditation by gently opening your eyes and come back into the place where you are. Thank you all so much for joining me for that. And as Samantha is not with me, we'll skip the crystal of the week this week, although I have to tell you, I recently came across a stone that I just fell in love with. It's called Larimar, L-A-R-I-M-A-R. It's an absolutely beautiful, beautiful shade of turquoisey, seafoam, blue-green, only found in Costa Rica. and it is also sometimes called the Dolphin Stone. And it is a great stone of insight and intuition and gentleness. So go take a look at that and learn some more about it. Maybe I'll ask Samantha to talk about that next time. So, good. Okay. And as you know, if you are a regular listener to our show, you know that we are working our way through the Tarot, the traditional Waite Rider Tarot. And tonight, our card is the Page of Cups. And in all four suits of the Minor Arcana, we can't really distinguish the gender of the page, and that's okay. The fact that it may be male or female or an androgynous being is really all right. But remember that cups are about emotion. And so this young person here holds a cup in his hand, his, her hand, with a fish leaping out of it. And this is the notion of the imagination. It's certainly a Christian symbol, the fish, but it is also a symbol of our connectedness to our emotions, to our imagination. This card has to do with one who is willing to learn to meditate, someone who is drawn to the arts, perhaps the birth of a child, sometimes a new business venture may be forthcoming if this card appears in a reading right side up. If it appears upside down, there's a sense of a little desire to create some kind of deceptiveness, obstacles, something in the path of the querent that says maybe now is not a good time to move forward, to birth new ideas or new creativity, and it is again, and it's a time for rest. So that is the Page of Cups for you tonight. And we're almost through with the Suit of Cups, just a couple of more cards here. So thank you all for that. Okay, what we're discussing tonight is 11, 11, 11, 11, 11, 11, many 11s. I venture to say that if you are a regular listener to this program, you are one of those people who wake up at 11, 11 at night, or who during the course of your day glance at a clock and there it is, 11, 11. You see it on the microwave. You see it all around you, 11, 11. Well, I did a lot of research to try to put some ideas together for tonight's show, and I've got lots to share with you, and then would certainly invite you to go out and do your own search. Even YouTube is full of 11, 11 if you just go on YouTube. You'd be amazed at what's there. But I want to start by talking about just the number 11 itself, because in numerology, 11 is a really important number. It is the number, it's called a master number. It is about people, if your birth number resonates to 11, you are someone who can be impractically idealistic. You are a visionary. You are extremely intuitive. You are very in tune with revelations coming to you, extremely artistic and inventive. Now, how do you know if you're an 11 and not a 2? Because 1 and 1 is 2. Here's how you know. If you are a 2, your feet are solidly planted on Mother Earth. You are one of those folks who resonates to the divine feminine, perhaps. Certainly have a lot of feminine energy, whether you are a man or a woman. But you've got some good, solid feet on the ground practicality to you. If you are 11, you float off into the ethers. That's just what 11 folks do. It is an amazingly wonderful number. And it appears sometimes as our birth number, sometimes as our name number, sometimes it's the combination of the two. So you may find yourself just determining in some way that 11 is really an important number to you, personally from a numerological perspective. It is, unlike a 2, which is a feminine number, 11 is a balance of male and female energy. And interestingly, one of the keys that New Age thought resonates with is that all of us are moving towards more and more to being androgynous beings, to having within us a balance of male and female energy. Carl Jung called that anima and animus. In Eastern thought, it's called yin and yang. We'll be talking about Carl Jung extensively in just a few minutes. So just know that the number 11 itself is an extremely mystical number. If you are familiar with, and I never can pronounce this right, the Fibonacci code, which is that wonderful sequencing of numbers where each 2 numbers adds to become the next number. You may remember that certainly from Dan Brown's book, The Da Vinci Code, if nothing else. You may be aware that the first numbers, of course, are 0 and then 1, and 1 plus 1 equals 2, and so forth and so on in the Fibonacci code. So the number 1 and then the number 11, the 1 plus 1, are the basic building blocks of sacred geometry, which is that Fibonacci code, which then resonates to the notion of the golden ratio, which is 1.64, which is 11. I just love this stuff. I just love the way that numbers and science and spirit all can get connected. And so just know that there's much to be learned here. There's so many layers to this. The number 1111, and we often see that as 11.11, like on a digital clock. It's called the 1111 code. And many of us, as I said, see this all the time. We're very familiar with it. Interestingly, it is the basic binary code in the building blocks of DNA. It is the basic building block of our DNA, 11.11. And many researchers believe that that code, as it elevates our DNA, is moving us to higher frequencies of consciousness. I think that's just amazing. 11 is called the master number. It is the key that unlocks the subconscious mind, say many folks who are studying this work. And I think that unlocking our subconscious mind means many different things. It means an awareness coming to an openness of those thoughts and feelings that we are certainly not consciously aware of. But even more than that, it is about being deeply connected to the cosmos. It is in our subconscious mind, often in our dream states, certainly not in our ego or superego states, as Freud would say, where we are able to let go of ego, let go of thought and deliberation, and allow ourselves to flow and become connected to the cosmic mind. It is in our subconscious. And the key to that, say the folks who are the 1111 folks, is just that, is that awareness. So many folks in the material that I was reading in preparation for tonight say that those of us who are forever seeing that number on our clocks are being called. There's a tap, that seeing that number is a tap on our shoulder from the universe to pay attention. It's time to pay attention. Pay attention to what? Pay attention to our connection to the divine. Pay attention to the beauty of the world around us. Pay attention to the cosmos. Pay attention to our guides and angels. There's a whole school of thought out there that says that 1111 is one of the ways that our guides and angels connect with us. That's one of the ways that they let us know that they're there.
and ask us to, at that moment, also pay attention to them. So if you're one of those folks who's seeing that number, and I bet that even if you haven't been, after just talking about this tonight, it'll begin to resonate into your consciousness. You'll just see. It's so much fun to think that that might really happen. If you are seeing that number, and it is a prompt indeed from your guides and from your angels, it is a call for you to be a light worker, to be a light worker. Now, I've talked on this show before about what it means to be a light worker, and I want to spend just a few minutes discussing that. And the notion is that, and there's actually an organization, it's called the International Light Workers Association, actually based out of Australia. But the notion of being a light worker can be as much as being connected to a formal organization such as that one. There are many others. Or you can just simply designate yourself as a light worker. And basically, the notion is that your job, our job, those of us who are light workers, is to bring light and love to this planet in many, many different ways. Just by our everyday behavior, how we treat each other, how we treat Mother Earth, how we treat our four-legged and winged and crawling brothers and sisters, the rocks and standing people. So it's about being a bringer of light, a bearer of light onto this planet. So that's certainly one way we can do that is by simply walking our talk. Another way to be a light worker is to spend some time every day in meditation. And what the organization that I belong to recommends that you do is that the first thing you do in the morning when you get up is you sit very quietly in meditation and just light, and you make a triangle with your fingers by bringing the tips of your thumbs together and the tips of your forefingers together so that you have created a triangle. And this triangle, this symbol with your fingers, then metaphorically and spiritually connects with these same triangles being made by literally millions of people all around the world so that we basically end up with a grid of triangles, which then form hexagons, which then form many other geometric patterns, that we basically grid the earth in a pattern of light. We literally form a protective shield around this planet every morning that brings the planet into as much light as we can certainly put in it. So we certainly recommend that if you would like to join us, that's all you got to do. Take a deep breath, put your fingers together, and hold the planet and light in your mind. It really can be that simple. But the notion is that 1111 is a prompt for you to, in fact, become a light worker, and however that may resonate for you. So I just want to suggest to you that that's one way you can do it. Certainly, there are many, many different ways. But if this is something that resonates for you, we would really suggest that you play with that. Let me take a break here and answer a couple of questions in the chat room. Because I am by myself tonight and don't have Samantha working in the chat room with me, I'm probably not going to be able to respond very much to your questions directly in the chat room, but I'll try to get to them as I am talking. And the message for tonight is we're discussing the concept of 1111 for those of you who are just joining us. So thank you so much. Okay, so let's get back to my notes here. I want to talk for a few minutes about Carl Jung. Carl Jung was a Swiss psychologist, that's J-U-N-G, a brilliant man who actually was a student and colleague and researcher with Freud, and he broke away from Freud because he really felt like that Freud was leaving out a really important part of looking at human development, and that was our spiritual side. Jung was a deeply spiritual person, was very interested in numerology, the occult. He was very interested in the notion of reincarnation. He spent a lot of time doing research on alchemy, just a fascinating man. But it really was Carl Jung who coined the phrase synchronicity. Jung gave us that concept, and over again in my research on 1111, I've come across that word, synchronicity. And the idea is that there are no accidents. I mean, gosh, we say that all the time, but it's more than that. It's more than there are no accidents. It's that there are parallel connections between us all that really create a reason, a master plan for the connections among our, each other in our lives on this planet. And so I love that idea. And there is this notion of synchronicity with 1111. It's no accident. It's not random that we certainly see that 1111 on our clocks. Or that we resonate to those numbers in strange ways throughout the day. And Jung says that the reason for synchronicity is one, twofold. One, to get us connected with each other, and two, to get us connected to the divine. So there is a synchronicity to this whole number thing, which I think is really just a fascinating idea. If you just consider the idea that, once again, we really are all related. I really love that concept. He says that not only seeing 1111, or Jung didn't say this, but some folks say that seeing 1111 creates more synchronicities in your life, that once you have that awareness of those numbers, more events become synchronistic in our lives. For example, say you're in the grocery store and you run across an old friend that you haven't seen in forever. And so you stop and you're chitty-chatting there at the peanut butter aisle. And golly, I mean, that would seem kind of fun and kind of random, but you learn that a mutual friend desperately needs some help. Perhaps this person is sick. Something has gone really awry in that person's life. Well, what's happened here is that the universe has conspired to bring you and your friend to the, in the peanut butter aisle together so that the two of you can share some information and perhaps resources to help yet a third person. I mean, golly, we probably all have a zillion examples of synchronicities in our lives if we just stop and think about those. So if you're being called to be a light worker, being called to pay attention to your guides and the code they're using, the key that's getting to you is that 1111, pay more attention to the synchronicities in your lives because they're going to come to you much more often. You'll just see. It's a really fun phenomenon. So let's talk about, now that I have talked about 11 and 11, 11 for a long time, let's talk about three 11s. 11, 11, 11. There was no accident. It was not random that the world powers chose the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th year of the 1900s to stop World War I. Armistice Day, as it was called, now called Veterans Day, of course, was intentionally set. And unfortunately, if you do a lot of research into the history of the end of World War I, you'll see that a lot of folks may have died around the world unnecessarily to make that happen. But one of the reasons for it, of course, was that at the very last hour, that's where we get that 11th hour comment from, there was a whole connection there with World War I and the people who stopped that war at that particular time. So a lot of folks are thinking, oh, 11-11-11, which of course is next Friday, is going to be some kind of a big cosmic day. Well, who knows? We'll wait and see. I have a theory, however. I have a theory that it's going to be another day. I just think it's going to be another day. And the reason I say that is because if you really add up the numbers correctly, 11-11-2011, you can't leave out the 2, so it's November 11th, 2011, that number resonates to an 8. 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 2 plus 0 plus 1 plus 1 breaks down numerologically to an 8. And that is a day of success, or a number of success. It has to do with financial success, with abundance, with our connection to the material. So if anything, I have a feeling that day might be a day to remind us to take a look at what our material gifts around us are, to look at and give thanks for and offer gratitude for what we have on that day. Do I think any kind of cataclysmic events are going to happen? Gosh, I don't think so. Obviously, I hope not. Certainly, I hope not. So just know that's what that day really is about. 11-11-2011 is an 8 day. Interestingly, September 11th, 2001 resonated to a 5. That is a number of chaos and confusion, and sometimes a lot of fear is around the number 5. But 11-11-11 resonates to an 8. So let's just stop there for a minute. We're at the halfway mark of the show. Those of you who are sending me notes in the chat room and instant messages, I just can't do it all. I'm so sorry. Just know that I can't respond to instant messages tonight. I apologize. I wish Samantha were with me, but she's not. So thank you for your notes and comments. Okay, and while we're taking a break here for this, let me just do a blatant commercial and remind you of who we are and what we're doing. This is the Psychic Teachers Podcast. I am your host, Deb Bowen. My co-host, Samantha Fay, is under the weather tonight, so please send her some light. You can reach us in many different ways, certainly here on Blog Talk Radio every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern live. You can also download archived editions of this podcast both from Blog Talk and from iTunes, absolutely free. You can connect with us through our website, which is www.psychicteachers.com. And you can like us on Facebook at Psychic Teachers at Facebook, and that's all one word, Psychic Teachers. We'd love to have you join us on Facebook. Samantha's much better at posting on Facebook than I am, but we do try. And from the website, you can get to each of our personal websites and to Samantha's blog, and certainly subscribe to our newsletters. So we would love to connect more with you in many different ways. I'm also pleased to tell you that by the time this show is over tonight, we will have reached more than 100,000 listeners. thank you all so very much. We are honored that you like this show and that it resonates for you. So we certainly do appreciate that, and how nice to be with you. So, okay, back to our concept of 11. I want to talk about another interesting piece to the 11 phenomenon. In Tarot, in the major arcana, which are the 22 named cards or keys, as they are called, the 11th card in the traditional Waite Rider deck is the Justice card. Now, there has always been some controversy among historians of Tarot as to whether key 11, which is Justice, and key 8, which is Strength, should be reversed. In some of the older decks, they were opposite of the way they are now. Most theorists, maintain that the Justice key is exactly where it belongs as key number 11. And here's why. 11, as the Justice key, is about balance, just as the number 11 is, about positive and negative forces. The pillars on the Tarot card for the Justice are also the same pillars that we see earlier in the deck on the High Priestess, who represents intuition, and the Hierophant, who represents our connection to the material. This, she holds scales in her hand. Justice does. She's seated on a throne, and she holds scales in her hand, again, to look at that notion of balance. And the sword she holds is a double-edged sword, meaning that it can certainly destroy as well as build. And it also is about the two aspects of a single power, creative imagination. And all imagination is based on memory. I hope you're hearing here as I'm talking the notion of yin and yang and balance and the one and the one. So this being here, and again, it's Mother Justice, we think of her as being feminine, is about love. She is about balance and fairness and justice to all. And in this is one of those pivotal keys in the Fool's journey to enlightenment. And the notion here is that when the Fool has reached a higher cycle of manifestation through the first 10 cards, now the Fool is ready to pursue a purified and disciplined life. Armed with the sword of power that enables him to discern between right and wrong. So one of the things that 11 gives us as a number is that it's the gift of discernment. It's the gift of knowing, and sometimes not knowing how we know, but intuiting what is right, what is wrong, what is appropriate for us, what is not, what is for our higher good, what is not. So 11 is all about finding balance in our lives and finding that which is just and fair and equitable in our lives. And I love the fact that 11 can have so many meanings and just fraught here in this Tarot card, for example. One website I was remembering, one website I was checking into was talking about 11 as resonating with a particular rune, and I don't work with runes, but certainly there are many divination techniques where 11 can be a piece of the puzzle. So I just think that's another interesting piece to the concept of 11. So will you do something special on that day, on 11/11? to commemorate or to think about that day for yourself? Will you just go on about your business, doing just what you're doing? Or will you and take a moment and really pause and think about the numerology of the day, the numerology of what that might mean or resonate for you, what the number 11 might mean for you? What might you consider doing with that day? You also might be interested to know that the moon will have been full just a few hours by the time we reach 11:11. The moon is full at 3:16 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursday the 10th. So you just might want to think about that and the phase of the moon. Certainly, we are still in that period of time where, in my belief, we are certainly in that full moon period where a time of gratitude, as I was talking earlier, might be appropriate for you to consider that while you're in that full moon time. Might be a time to go outside and contemplate that balance of Earth and stars and moon, and just spend some time in nature if you're a place where it's warm enough to do that. I'm sure some folks aren't. I think it's snowing in some part of the country today, but in any case, you might find that an interesting thing to do, to make some plans to just spend some time in contemplation or meditation. Repeatedly, over and over again, as I researched tonight's show, I over and over again saw suggestions that the best way to honor the guides, the angels, this call from spirit to be a light worker, to pay attention to the 11:11, was to just meditate. So perhaps tonight, when you wake up at 11:11, or setting the clock and getting ready to go to bed and it's 11:11, or tomorrow at 11:11, just whenever that begins to resonate for you again, just breathe in. Just use that as a trigger for yourself to take a deep breath, to slow down, to pause, to pay attention, to just be silent, and know that your guides or your angels may have some kind of a message for you. And it may come in the sound of a voice, and remember that that voice will always be your own voice, will always sound just like yours. It may be in some kind of a symbol in nature that may cross your paths. For example, I've been seeing a lot more crows lately than usual, and one of the things that's on my to-do list before I leave this house tomorrow is to go back and do some refreshers for me on why crow medicine has suddenly really surfaced in my life. So you may have that, some kind of phenomenon in nature. I know Samantha and I were talking recently, and she's been having a whole lot of hawk energy, and yesterday had some crane energy around her. And it's important to pay attention when those symbols in nature come to us. And they may come as a result of your willingness to accept a sign and some kind of connection from your guides that is signaled to you from the 11:11 phenomenon. Also read a whole lot of material that said that 11:11 was about the heralding of the beginning of moving towards 2012. And I am not, I have to tell you folks honestly, prepared to talk about 2012 tonight by myself without Samantha. So I'm going to save that for a later discussion when the two of us can both bring our thoughts about that to the table. One thing that I loved in preparing for tonight's show as I was doing lots of research was I found almost every world belief, almost every world belief represented in this 1111 phenomenon. Someone put in the chat room earlier some connection to numerology and Buddhist thought, and indeed I found that. I certainly found it in pagan and earth-based beliefs. I found it in Christianity. I was on Christian websites looking at the 1111 phenomenon from a Christian perspective, from pagan perspective, from Buddhist perspectives. And so, again, one of the wonderful things, as you all have heard us say so many times on this show, is that we love the notion of the connectedness among us all in so many different ways and in so many different beliefs. And here's another example I had not even thought about, was something that that I tend to think of as being kind of mystical and almost scientific with the DNA component, that it also transcends many different belief systems. And I love that. That's just a wonderful thing to me. Once again, I think it's so important to look at our similarities as opposed to our differences. And although folks may have some different perspectives on what this means, we all agree it means something. And I thought that was wonderful, was that everybody had, every website that I looked at, regardless of the faith, believed that there was some significance to this number. So I really enjoyed that as a part of where we were going. So anyway, just yet another piece to this 1111 puzzle. I wonder, and I didn't have a chance to do this, is some of the other numbers that this year that have been moving towards an important part of the puzzle. For example, and I won't again belabor this, but 2012, you know, the deadline, the due date here is 12/21/12, not 12/12/12. So I don't know what that's about. That's, again, like I say, something else for another show. Let me back up here and just take a minute and look at some of the comments that I've been flying over here in the chat room. Question is, how long have we been on the air? We started in March of 2009, so a little over a year and a half now is how long we've been on the air. Oh, and some nice comments about Larimar. Thank you for that. I appreciate knowing that resonates with other folks, as it does me. You're right, it's an absolutely beautiful stone. And somebody asked about the difference between 4s, 11s, 22s, numerologically. Well, I think what's important with that is that you don't use just one number as the key number to describe who you are. I think we are multifaceted and multi-layered beings. And so take a look at your birth number, your destiny number, or sometimes that's called your life path number, your name number. If you're married, how has your name number, and you're a woman, how has your name number changed because of your getting married? So that there are different aspects of your being, of your personality, that may resonate to different numbers. For example, my birth number is a 7. My name number is a 7 if I just use my name, Deb Bowen. But if I use some, like my legal name, it resonates to a different number. And so it's important to pay attention to a lot of different numbers. Don't just give yourself one. And the numbers in nature, that's a great question that somebody has asked earlier. Again, I guess we're back to thinking about the Fibonacci code and the divine ratio, or sometimes called the golden ratio. Everything in nature has a connection to numerology and to sacred geometry. If, for example, you look at a rose, just look, just in your mind's eye, look down at a rose and look at the petals. As those petals unfold, they unfold in a perfect ratio to each other. And that ratio is 1.64. 1.64. If you think about a chambered nautilus and the beautiful spirals in a chambered nautilus, each point in that spiral is 1.64 greater than the last spiral. So you'll see numerology like that in nature all the time. And if you just take that 1.64, it's an 11. 1 plus 6 plus 4 is 11. So it's everywhere. I think that's just so cool. The human body resonates to the number 11. I'm never good at remembering all of this, but the distance from your head to your navel and then from your navel to your feet is 1.64 of each other. The same is true with the length of your arms from your elbow to the tip of your fingers. It goes on and on and on and on. And I can't do all of that, but somewhere, Samantha and I periodically teach a course on numerology and sacred geometry, and we'll maybe redo that one sometime towards the first of the year if you're interested in learning more about how sacred geometry works in nature. It's fascinating. And again, I think maybe for those of us who are not scientists, one of the best examples of that is in that wonderful novel, The Da Vinci Code, by Dan Brown. I think you might find that to be true. That was one of the things that sparked my whole interest in sacred geometry, that and labyrinths. And I could go on a whole tangent about the sacred geometry of labyrinths, but I won't because we're talking about 11 here. Okay, let me see. Let me make sure I've answered all of the questions that folks had asked in the chat room. Sorry. This is hard. I miss Samantha. And I know you all do too. Because it's really nice to have each other to help bounce questions off of. Okay. All right. I don't see any that I've missed. If you've got an additional question, we've got a few minutes here, and you're certainly welcome to put it in the chat room, and I'll do my very best to answer it, if that resonates for you. So let's do just a little numerology here. And let's figure out just how many of you might be 11s. Here's how you check your birth number. Let me just give you a real simple lesson here. Suppose that your birthday is September 13th, 1984. So 9/13/1984. A lot of times folks make the mistake of not adding in the 19. So here's how you add that up. 9 plus 1 plus 3 plus 1 plus 9 plus 8 plus 4. And that's 10. 13, 14, 23, 31, and 4 is 35. And then you divide, then you do that down to one digit. So 3 plus 5 equals 8. So this person who was born on the 13th of September in 1984's birth number, resonates to an 8. So one of the aspects of this person's personality is a need to feel safe, a need to feel financially safe, financially secure. So somebody who resonates with money. Don't, Lord gracious, don't ask me to do math for you in the chat room. I can't do it. That was hard enough for me to just do that one example. But the answer to your question, to the person who is asking in the chat room, 11/29, you need to do all of the numbers. So if it's November 29th, the full year, and add all of that together, just like I did in the example, and that will tell you what your number is. 11/29 isn't a double 11 because you've got to add the year. Don't forget to add the year. That's really important as well. So, no. And the 11 may be a 2. See, it gets really complicated. I when I teach numerology classes, I have to have a calculator. I just really do. So I hope that helps. No, okay. So on this coming Friday, as you hear lots of folks talking about this day, and you might hear some doom and gloom predictions, you might hear some naysayers, you might hear some panic. Oh, my golly, because, of course, unfortunately, this may unfortunately remind people of the horrors of September 11th in 2001. Don't go there. Don't go there. Don't give energy or credence to that. Use this day as a day of bringing love and light and gratitude around you. Remember that the day itself actually resonates to an 8, so it's a day of success. It's a day of being connected to gratitude for the material world around you. Don't lose sight of that. Don't feed into the negativity, because negativity breeds negativity. So stay with the positive aspects of what this day is likely to mean. And as I said at the beginning of the show, my gut feeling is it's another day. It's not going to be all the hoopla that folks think it will be, but, you know, and I hope I'm right. Gosh, in fact, I hope, if anything, it's a better day and a more positive day and a more uplifting day, because those of us who are having these kind of discussions, and certainly all of us are who are here tuned into this show, but I found that to be true with lots of other folks as I was researching. Maybe that's a day where we especially send out love and light and healing to this planet. And in fact, use that energy rather than feeding into the negativity or the doom and gloom or the fear, that we in fact feed into it in a very different way. Someone is asking the chat room what the number 9 means. 9 is a number of completion. 9 is also a mystical number, but it's about tying up old karma. It's about finishing up our obligations and responsibilities to people and to ourselves. Sometimes folks whose number resonate to the number 9 really have a hard life, because they've committed to come back into this lifetime to wrap up a lot of old karmic debts. So sometimes 9 can be a challenging number, just to give you a thought about that here. Okay, folks, any other questions in the chat room? We've got just a few minutes here, and I'm happy to try to answer them for you. Gosh, I feel like I'm waiting for you to talk, and of course I realize you can't talk. It really is weird not having Samantha here, folks. Oh, me. So, let's see. I don't know. I'm tempted to say that I've really said all I want to say, unless you have something that you would specifically like to ask about in the chat room. I'm thinking that I've gone through all of my notes now, and I think perhaps we'll just sign off. I'll give it just a minute or two more. Oh, good question. Am I doing any more online classes? We're actually doing a couple of wonderful things with that. We don't do them online. We do telecourses where we all speak on a conference call kind of situation. So it's a telephone kind of course. And indeed, Samantha and I will be getting together very soon and putting together our plans for the new year with several courses. We are in the process of actually rolling out a new service that we're still just fine-tuning, but it should be up and running in the next week or so, and that is that you can buy for a nominal fee, I think it's $20 or $25, courses that we have already taught, and you can download them and along with the handouts, and they're yours to keep, of course, for forever. So there you go. So that will answer your question. Oh, interesting. Somebody has written that 520. Oh, a show we did back in, oh, thank you, back in May of last year called Let Your Numbers Do the Talking. And you can download that, of course, from iTunes anytime you'd like. So Let Your Numbers Do the Talking. We'll give you some idea of just some numerology that Samantha and I have done. And, of course, we both do numerology charts for people where we do in-depth charts and help you take a look at lots of different aspects, as I was talking earlier about. So we'll be happy to do that. You can learn about that service from our website. Okay. Gosh, thank you. How nice of you to remember that show. I'm glad it worked for you. Good. And we probably will certainly do some others here as we move into 2012, because I know a lot of folks are going to want to be talking about that. So, folks, we have about 3 minutes left, and one more question, and then I'll get ready to sign off. The positive aspects, I may want to know the positive aspects of fives, because that's a good point. I tend to think of fives as being chaotic and pretty random and sometimes destructive, but fives can also be a really strong creative force. Sometimes folks whose birth path resonates to a five are folks whose lives may be very chaotic, but they are very creative. They are folks with a lot of energy. They're very adventuresome. These are the folks who, you know, pack a backpack and go traveling across the world and think that's just a great plan. So don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of it. Use that chaos sometimes that comes with that number and harness it and turn it into a positive spirit that you can go around the world with. You know, I bet you it would be fun sometimes. I think one of these days when I'm old and gray and trying to amuse myself, I'm going to do things like look at Christopher Columbus and Magellan and some of those adventuresome folks and see what their birth numbers are and look for some similarities. I think that might be something kind of fun to do. See if those guys were fives. I have not a clue when their birthdays were, but, what might some of the real peacemakers on the planet's birthdays resonate to. I mean, certainly we can know Gandhi's or Martin Luther King's or Mother Teresa or Princess Diana. And let's look at some of those folks, Nelson Mandela. So, you know, just numbers are fun to play with. It's fun to take a look at. Who knows? I know I've done some research on what Edgar Cayce's numbers were. So you might just enjoy doing some of that. Okay, folks, I have made it through this hour. Thank you so much for hanging in here with me. Bless your heart. I've got just less than a minute left. So, again, I appreciate you being here. Please join us again next week when Samantha will be back with us, and we'll have a much more lively show from this end. I appreciate all your comments in the chat room, and I hope that everyone has a blessed week. Take care, everyone, and good night.